Hello and welcome to the Q York podcast, brought to you from our local church in the beautiful city of York in the UK. The message you're about to hear is from one of our services, which also feature great live music and relevant movie clips. These can all be found on our blog, so to make sure you're getting the full experience, feel free to head over to qyork.co.uk and select blog to find the relevant content. There's also a huge selection of talks and live music videos on our media page, as well as a donate button if you'd like to show your appreciation and enable us to keep producing free content like this. Finally, to stay up to date on new blogs and events at Q, you can sign up for emails by filling in your name and email address at the bottom of any page on the website. But right now, it's time for the message.
So last August, a childhood friend got in touch with me. He was someone that went to the church I grew up in, and weekends we'd always spend playing in the woods, and then when we were about 14, 15, we got in a band. He then emigrated to the south of France, learned to play bass, got in this band, and he is now in a band called the Troubadours. And they basically entertain the rich and famous around the world. They have entertained Rod Stewart, mama. Lily Allen, they do Cartier events, Beyonce, like literally like the most famous people in the world get these guys to do their parties. Now, I've been playing saxophone for about 10 years. I'm no professional, but I've done a few gigs around and I can play a bit of sax. So anyway, my friend Jason gets in touch with me and he said, we're playing a gig in Knaresborough for a big event. Do you still live in York? I was like, yeah. Do you want to come play sax with us? I was like, yes. So I was super excited, and he sent me, right, this is all the songs that we're playing. And then I had this moment where I was like, I'm not a professional sax player. Like, am I going to be able to do this event? So all these thoughts are going through my head, and they paid me more for that gig than I've ever been paid for a gig. So I was just like, am I going to be good enough for this? And then things really racked up when I got to the venue, and it was basically this mansion with what looked like kind of FBI guards on the gates and like lorries for catering. It looked like a music festival. And when my friend turned up, he said, oh, yeah, you're taking the place of this guy called Jay Metcalf, which probably won't mean anything to you, but he's like one of my saxophone heroes. He's like got the biggest YouTube saxophone channel on the planet. And I'm like, okay. So yeah, I felt a little bit awkward, and it was this sense of, well, what am I going to do? I can't cop out now. I've got to step up. So we went into this massive marquee. If you're interested, I can show you a video later. It was unbelievable. We went table to table playing songs. At one point, I'm thinking, that's Gareth Southgate. And there's all these people around the room thinking, what am I doing here? But it went great. It was great fun. By the way, this was someone's summer barbecue. And the band that closed the night was Bryan Adams. It was bizarre. I drove away thinking, like, did that actually just happen? But I also drove away thinking, do you know what? I think I could do that again. Like, actually, having done it, feel a bit more comfortable. And actually, I'd quite like to do that again. Now, have you ever found yourself in a situation where you doubt your ability, or you think, I'm not sure I belong here? Or you think, I'm not sure I'm good enough. I don't know if I've got what it takes. I feel like a fraud, and it's only a matter of time before they find out that I'm not as good as maybe I'm pretending, or I'm thinking, or this context requires of me. If you have, then you are, well, actually, you're very normal, because this is very common, and it's often referred to as imposter syndrome. Now, in her book, Ditching Imposter Syndrome, an author, Claire Jose, writes about four ways in which imposter syndrome can affect us. These are the four P's of imposter syndrome. Now, you're going to have to get used to the P's this morning, because there's lots of P's coming your way. I wonder which of these you relate to. Perfectionism, procrastination, project paralysis, people pleasing. Anyone going ding, 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 ding? So perfectionism is when we believe that anything less than perfection is failure. And when we don't meet these unreasonably high standards, then, well, I must be an imposter. I must not belong here because I can never do this. Procrastination, we can end up putting things off, never doing a thing, or leaving it so late because we think, oh, I'm clearly not good enough for this. I can't meet the expectations. Or project paralysis. I've had this before with music projects where I get stuck because I think, oh, I don't think I've got what it takes to make this good or complete this project successfully. Or people-pleasing. Guilty. We seek external validation and avoid conflict, and we fear rejection or criticism, and so we overcommit and say yes to everything. So I think imposter syndrome can affect us in many ways, and what I want to explore this morning is how each of us experience it, trying to relate to that, why it exists, what can exacerbate it, make it worse, and maybe how we can harness it to become something that actually can help us in life. Here is a little video from the University of Stanford that I think we might relate to, and then I've got a question for us to chat about. Okay, so I want to explore next the P's that perpetuate imposter syndrome. What are the things that maybe make imposter syndrome worse or continue it in us? How that can be a hindrance sometimes, and also how we can harness it to make it something that can really help us grow. Sarah brought up a great phrase earlier about trees, and trees add rings of growth to their life, and sometimes the things we have to go through is adding another ring of growth to our life, and I think that's what we are here for. So this is a great video from the School of Life that explores some of the reasons behind why imposter syndrome exists, and then we're going to chat through some of them. Lots to take in there. That'll be on the blog, by the way, so if you're like, oh, I couldn't take all of that in, then you can watch it again. It's a great video. But I want to touch on three things, which you're very lucky, all begin with P, which I think are things that can exacerbate and make imposter syndrome a stronger thing, and maybe more of an unreal thing than it actually is. And the first is perspective. So the guy touched on it in the video. I know everything about how I'm feeling and my fears, my anxieties, my failures, my temptations, my desires, but you only know what I let you see. You only know actually what I will tell you or show you by the way that I live. Someone once said, one of the main reasons we struggle with insecurity is that we're comparing our behind the scenes with everybody else's highlight reel. Someone else said, we see our blooper reel and we see everyone else's highlight reel. But there's so much that you and I don't see about each other. I was watching a video this week of Ed Sheeran, and he was talking about how everyone says, oh, you're so talented. And he's like, well, I wasn't always. And he shows a little clip of him singing, and it's dreadful. Like, everyone in the audience is like, oh. And he's saying, but you don't see the journey of how I became this. And we don't always see everybody's stories of how they got to where they are. And it's easy for us to feel like an imposter when we think, but look at these amazing people who can do these things, or they seem so confident, or they have this, and I'm just this. I was listening to a song by Radiohead on the way in this morning called Creep. I don't know if any of you know the song Creep. But the whole thing is basically him talking about this person saying, you're just like an angel, like, you kind of float, and I'm just a weirdo. And there's this sense that you see somebody else in almost in an angelic way, but you're very aware of your own failings. And I think that perspective can be unhelpful, and it can make imposter syndrome feel worse. Do you know the movies made by Pixar? I was reading a book called Creativity Inc., which is great, especially if you're a creative person. And the guy who wrote it was one of the founders, and he said, every Pixar movie is completely rubbish at the beginning. He said, when they start out, they're awful, they're really bad. And so they go through a process of step by step making it into what we see as the finished product. Now, I'm going to treat you to a little bit of French now. In the 16th century, the French philosopher Michel de Montaigne wrote, Les rois et les philosophes m'aident, et les dames aussi. Même sur le plus haut trône du monde, nous restons assis sur nos fessées. How did I do, Ruth? Do you know what it means, Ruth? Yeah. Does anyone else want to know what it means in English? Are you sure you do? Do you want to write a disclaimer? Okay, this is the translation in English. This guy said, kings and philosophers poop, and so do ladies. Even on the highest throne in the world, we are still seated upon our asses. So, we might think this is very vulgar and very inappropriate, but his point wasn't to be vulgar. In the words of Alan de Botton from The School of Life, he says, Montaigne was inviting us to take on a saner sense of what grand, powerful, and beautiful people are really like. Montaigne might have also said that kings, philosophers, and ladies are racked by self-doubt, feelings of inadequacy, and sometimes bump into doors. And CEOs, corporate lawyers, news presenters, and successful startup entrepreneurs also feel that they can't cope, that they might buckle under pressure and look back on certain decisions with shame and regret. So, this idea of perspective, that we see the world through everything we know about ourselves, but we see other people, well, we don't see all of that stuff. We only see what they present, but I think it can be really helpful to realize when you look around this room, we all struggle with stuff. We all find certain things difficult. We've all got sadnesses in our life and challenges. And actually, to feel like we're the only one that feels what we feel can actually be really isolating and unhelpful. And to acknowledge that everybody actually goes through tricky things and has got things going on, I think can be helpful. Okay, the second P is pluralistic ignorance. Now, I sound very intelligent, but I Googled it. Pluralistic ignorance is a phenomenon in social psychology in which we wrongly assume that we think differently to the crowd around us, when in reality, the majority of people are thinking what we're thinking. Because we all believe we're the odd one out, we don't voice our doubts, and so everyone pretends because they don't realize that everyone else is pretending as well. Now, I had an experience of this on Friday. I've been going to some tennis training that's been put on for free, and it's group tennis training, so there's like 8 lads and a tennis coach. Now, there's one point we were stood at the side of the court, and the coach, he said, right, so we're going to work on our service action, and he said, what you just need to do is add a pronation into your serve. And everyone was like, until one guy goes, what's a pronation? Now, all of us were thinking the same thing, but we thought, oh, I'm not going to ask because I'm going to look dumb because I'm the only one who doesn't know what a pronation is. And when he asked, there was a huge sigh of relief because actually nobody knew what it was. And actually all of us were in the same boat. So I wonder whether we are ever guilty of perpetuating imposter syndrome in others because we won't acknowledge that we have doubts as well. And we look silly if we ask, so we just pretend. I think that can happen in all sorts of situations, like politics is a classic one. You think like, well, I voted that way, but I don't want to mention it in the room because I might be the only one who voted that way, and then all hell will break loose. Often we are more common than we think we are. And I think often the cure for that is curiosity. Sometimes just to be curious enough to ask other people what they think, or be the guy that asks the question, be the person that can actually ask. Okay, our third P is portraying probity. Do we all know what probity means? Or are we pretending we do because we think we're the only ones who don't know what it means and we'd look silly if we asked, so we just pretend. Okay, I didn't know what it means until I put it in ChatGPT the other day. I basically wanted to find something else that began with P that meant virtue signaling. So probity is an unwavering commitment to honesty, righteousness, and ethical behavior. So it's kind of, that kind of thing is probity. But when we portray probity and say, see, I am like this, I'm a really good person, when actually, in reality, life's a bit more complicated than that, then actually that can perpetuate imposter syndrome because other people will think, but look at them, like, they're amazing and they have this amazing motivations all the time. Amy was listening to a podcast recently with Dawn French and Fern Cotton, and it got to one point and I was like, hang on, pause that a second, we need to talk about this. They were talking about things that they regretted in the past, and that with hindsight, I can feel like I'm ashamed of that thing. But they said, but I had good intentions at the time. And that's where I was like, hang on. Why do we feel the need to say that we had good intentions? I think sometimes we're trying to say, see, look, I'm a good person, even though I did an awful thing. But I don't know why we need to do that. And I keep hammering on about this, but I love that story in Genesis when it talks about how there were two trees in the garden, and the one that God was like, don't eat that. Like, if you eat that, you will die. Like, it will destroy everything. Wasn't the knowledge of evil. It was the knowledge of good and evil. And I think the idea that we feel we need to justify and validate ourselves with the label of good, I think that actually can perpetuate this idea of imposter syndrome, because everyone thinks, well, I know that often my motivations are complicated. The reason I do anything is because of all sorts of reasons, all sorts of desires I might have, anxieties I might have. My personality from growing up isn't always coming from a great place. Sometimes it's coming from hurt or doubt or fear. And so if I just say, but my intentions were good, it's like, I don't feel like it's a helpful word. I think our intentions are complex and they are all kinds of different things. But I feel like good is just too narrow to define what our intentions are. I don't think they can be defined by good or bad always. Okay, so the three P's that I think perpetuate imposter syndrome: perspective, the fact that I see the world from the inside out, but you see it, I see you from the outside in. We have pluralistic ignorance, which is basically the tennis thing, where everyone's pretending and not wanting to express their doubts because they feel like they're the only one. And this portraying probity, this idea that we're saying, look, I'm a good person, that actually, I think there are three things that can perpetuate imposter syndrome. So, let's chat for a bit. Which of these P's do you relate to? What out of what I've just been waffling on about for a bit, do you think, yeah, I can resonate with that? That's definitely something I've done or I've seen or I've experienced, and it's made me feel or might have made others feel like an imposter. So just chat through that. We'll have about 8 minutes chatting through. You don't have to chat through all of them. Just pick whatever ones you feel like you relate to or resonate with. Okay, thanks. Okay, the final P. The final P is for progress. See, I think imposter syndrome actually can help us. I think we can harness it, and it can actually help us grow and add those growth rings to our tree. We've spoken many times here at Q, and I know Claire brought it a while ago, about how emotions and feelings aren't bad and good. But they're things that we can engage with in order to help us grow. We talked about the guest house of emotions and how actually emotions can come into your life, you can kind of get to know them, engage with them, and then let them go. And I think imposter syndrome is one of those things. I don't think it's something that is useful to wear as a label to go, I have imposter syndrome, almost like it's a badge or a diagnosis of an illness. I think it's something to say, I might be experiencing imposter syndrome right now, so let's engage with that, see what I can learn from it, and see how it can help me. Now, Stephen Bartlett is going to help us with this. You may know his face and recognize him from Dragon's Den. Does anyone watch Dragon's Den? If you do, then you'll know his face. He was born in Botswana to an English father and a Nigerian mother, and his mother left school at 7 and couldn't read or write. He was expelled from school, dropped out of university after one lecture, but he now has the most popular podcast in Europe. And these are his thoughts on imposter syndrome, which will help us think about how it can help us with progress and growth. Let's have a look. Whoo! He really went for that, didn't he? I wonder if you agree. Not just because we show a video doesn't necessarily mean it's true. That's his perspective. So, question. How big is your comfort zone? I wonder what's in your comfort zone that you feel quite comfortable with. I wonder what's outside of your comfort zone. Do you remember learning to ride a bike? I was watching a video recently of our Wessie, and I taught him to ride a bike on the strip outside our house. And we were there all day, up and down that grass strip. And I've got this video of the moment when he properly did it. And there's tears coming down my face. But there was a moment where riding a bike was outside of his comfort zone. But now he does it without thinking about it. And I think there's all sorts of things that actually we do now without thinking about it, that once upon a time were outside of our comfort zone. And I think that can give us hope for the things that now feel like they're outside of our comfort zone. Okay. There is a concept called growth mindset. And it's this theory that intelligence and ability aren't fixed, but they can be improved. And it's often simplified within the phrase, the power of yet. It's something which we can flip a negative statement to a positive one by adding yet on the end. For example, I can't juggle. Yet. Or I can't figure this out. Yet. I can't ride a bike. Yet. Now, this can be helpful because it can help you have hope or broaden your perspective to say, this could be possible. But it's also important to add that just saying yes on the end of a sentence doesn't completely magically fix a reality in your life. One of the things I was talking about with Keith on the table was he was telling us a story about someone at their school who was all mouth but couldn't improve it when it came to something. It's very easy for us to think we're capable of things that we're not. I was telling them of a story of how that happened to me last year. I thought I could do something, and then it turned out I couldn't. And I learned the hard way. One of the things I wonder is whether imposter syndrome sometimes is right. Maybe in some situations, imposter syndrome is saying, you can't do this. You can't do this yet. And maybe there is a little bit more growth that's required. But maybe that imposter syndrome and the engagement with it is telling you, okay, what do you need to do so that actually at some point this will be within your comfort zone and it's something that you can do well. That might be getting some advice. It might be a bit more practice. It might be just engaging muscles that you're not used to using. But I wonder sometimes whether, maybe part of our engagement with that emotion of imposter syndrome is saying, you might have a point at the moment. Maybe I am being a fraud. And maybe I do need to be more honest about where I'm at. Have you ever watched an episode of X Factor or Britain's Got Talent and you think, how did they end up on that show? Why did they not have a friend or family member at some point that said, you can't do that yet. You're not ready for this challenge yet. So how do we know? How do you know whether actually you're being a fraud and an imposter, or whether actually you just need to step out of your comfort zone and step into something that is difficult? I think we need to rationally assess whether we are being a fraud or whether we need to step up. Do you remember I spoke a few weeks back about being rational? It's a word that we've used quite a lot recently, but the root word of that word rational is the word reason. Actually, it's your reason for something, and we reason together. So, for example, if I'm thinking, I've got this opportunity, but am I being a fraud if I think I can do that? And if I think I can step into that arena, maybe I ask somebody that I really trust who knows me well, and they say, maybe you do need a bit more practice with that. I have a saxophone teacher. The reason I have one is because he can tell me exactly where I'm at and where I'm not at. He can say, you're doing great at that. That needs work. And I think this context is great within a community where I can talk to someone and say, am I ready for this? How am I doing at this? And they could say, you are. You're not being a fraud. You're just doubting yourself when you don't need to. I think that's where conversation, relationship, friendship can help with that. So, when imposter syndrome strikes, I think faith is important. I think faith goes beyond just a belief in the divine. I think it is about believing in things that you can't see, or maybe seeing things that actually are more than meets the eye, One of the things that came up in the School of Life video was that the guy said, you need to engage faith to realize that other people are struggling with things just as much as you are, because you can't always see that. But sometimes you have to trust that I know everybody's got stuff going on in their lives. And so when it feels like I'm the only one, I have to remember that I'm not the only one. Friendship is important. We've talked about that. And I think stepping out of our comfort zone into a bigger world, actually, I think imposter syndrome and our engagement with that can actually help us do that. So for our final part of discussion, I want you to consider, when was the last time you stepped out of your comfort zone? And what feels outside of your comfort zone at the moment that you'd really like to be in your comfort zone? So when was the last time you experienced being out of your comfort zone? And what would you like to be in your comfort zone? So we'll chat about that for a bit, and then I'll wrap up with a song. Thank you. I hope that's at least added something to the conversation that we are all having here at Q. I'm sure there are all sorts of things I could have said and should have said that I didn't this morning that I've missed. But this is an ongoing conversation. So if there's something that you think, oh, I think that's part of that, then let's chat about it. Throw it into the pot and we'll kind of develop this as it goes forward. Also, if there's anything this morning you think, actually, I really don't agree with that. I think something different. Then, like we said, don't be the only one who sat there thinking, well, I might be the only one thinking that. Let's throw it in the pot. This isn't necessarily about being right. I think it's just about carrying on this conversation so that we can grow together. Okay.
Thanks for listening to another Q York podcast. Now, if you've enjoyed what you've heard today, then we would love to hear from you. Feel free to drop us an email to info@qyork.co.uk and let us know who you are and where you're listening from. Don't forget there are blogs and all sorts of media to be enjoyed at qyork.co.uk, which you're welcome to browse at your leisure. Until next time, enjoy the quest.